The Nobel Prize for Economics goes to...
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Americans Eleanor Ostrom and Oliver Williamson won the Nobel Prize for their work in economic analysis, social organization, and conflict resolution. Ostrom is the first woman to win the prize since its founding in 1968. A new insurance industry report claims the health care reform bill making its way through the Senate could drive up costs of a typical family's health insurance by as much as $4,000 a year. Marketplace's Steve Henn is with us live from Washington with the latest. Good morning, Steve.
Morning.
So why do they think prices would go up that much?
Well, insurers are worried the Senate bill doesn't do enough to make sure everyone would actually buy health insurance. Health insurance companies have been pushing for a while for a mandate that would make sure people bought insurance or they'd get hit with big fines. Ideally, they wanted the government to offer subsidies so their insurance would be affordable. But big subsidies cost too much, and the Senate was worried about imposing significant fines on people for not buying insurance they couldn't afford.
And what are Democrats saying, Steve?
Well, Democrats are saying that the study is flawed, and they're really worried about the timing of it. There's an important Senate Finance Committee vote on Tuesday, and this report could create a problem. They also say the industry overlooked key parts of the bill designed to hold costs down and basically called it a flawed attack.
And what happened? I mean, is that the end of this?
Well, no, it's not the end of this. I mean— What happened in the Senate was that they compromised, scaled back the fines, and now insurers are afraid that millions of healthy Americans are not going to buy insurance if they're not facing a steep fine. And if they don't, if healthy people don't buy insurance, that'll drive up the cost for the rest of us.
All right, Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
Let's check numbers. Shares are up in Europe about 1.5%. Stocks were mixed in Asia today. Nikkei up, Hang Seng down. It was the best week on Wall Street in a month. The S&P and NASDAQ added 4.5% each. For the week, the Dow tacked on 4%. And this week, a House committee could vote on a bill that would create a consumer financial watchdog agency for things such as mortgages and credit cards. It's part of President Obama's agenda for financial reform. But as Tamara Keith tells us, there's also plenty of opposition.
House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank says consumers need an advocate.
Because the bank regulators side with the banks more often than the consumers.
Consumer groups point to a list of recent abuses: deceptive mortgages, excessive overdraft charges, credit card interest rates that just keep rising. Even groups that oppose Frank's bill agree the current system has problems.
Of course it failed. Now how do we really fix it?
David Hirschman is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. His idea for a fix doesn't involve a new agency.
What you need is more effective government, not just more government.
The banking industry isn't a fan either. Scott Talbot is the chief lobbyist for the Financial Services Roundtable.
We need to strengthen our regulatory system to close silos and narrow gaps to prevent this type of crisis from happening again.
He's against it, but Talbot admits there's a lot of political will behind a new consumer protection agency. Of course, in Washington, a will doesn't always equal a way. I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Forbes.com has a list of the 400 richest people in America. A good number of them, 274, are self-made. And they seem to have a few things in common. Many had parents with jobs that required a lot of math, numbers crunching and accounting, small business. But one out of seven of them didn't complete college. Alumni in the dropout group includes Microsoft Baron Bill Gates, Apple's Steve Jobs, and Dell Computer's Michael Dell. And to think I spent all that money.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at sunGard.com.
The British livestock industry has had a tough time this past decade. The business has been battered by a series of epidemics, mad cow, foot and mouth disease. But there's a tiny corner of the industry that's flourishing. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard introduces us to Britain's youngest pig farmer.
It's 6 a.m. Most of her school friends are still in bed, but Emma Chanky is hard at work, taking care of business. In a field not far from her home, Emma feeds her fast-growing herd of rare-breed pigs.
I suppose it all started when I asked for two pigs for my birthday, which I think my parents thought was quite a strange request for a 14-year-old girl.
Her parents tried to put her off. To show her how messy it would be, they sent her on a pig-keeping course, with unforeseen results.
It made me more aware about how rare some of the breeds are, so I wanted to help preserve them. And the best way to do that was by farming them.
It's a business now?
Yes, definitely. And the whole family is now involved, so that's nice.
Emma now has 38 rare breed pigs like Saddlebacks and Gloucester Old Spots. She claims they make delicious sausages, bacon and chops, much better than the average supermarket pork, so people are willing to pay a premium. She's now branched out into selling pig shelters and running her own pig-keeping course. A bit much for a 16-year-old, perhaps. Her dad, Pete, doesn't think so.
I think it's incredibly good for her. I mean, from a money-managing point of view, the amount of paperwork that goes into a business, I mean, it's certainly experience she will have that none of her school friends will have when it comes to being able to go in the employment market.
Come on, Acorn. Hello, Jimmy. Come on.
In spite of her obvious affection for the pigs, Emma has learned one of the first rules of business. Don't get sentimental about the stock.
What about when they go off for slaughter? Isn't that a bit of a wrench?
I suppose I'm used to it by now. I mean, I know they've had a wonderful life and looked after them and they've been happy and the meat tastes wonderful afterwards, so yeah, I suppose I'm used to it.
In Preston-on-Wye, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And from Los Angeles, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.